From KCRW, it's Greater LA. I'm Steve Chitakis. It's the show that connects you to the people and places of Southern California. Welcome. St. John Bosco High School in Bellflower is what's considered a football powerhouse. They're currently ranked second in the nation, right behind Miami Central in Florida, according to High School Football America, and they're playing in the state championship this Saturday. But if you venture away from their Friday night lights, they're pretty good at something else, another sport, one with fewer tackles and less reality, but one that's really intense.
Hey, stop! I said stop!
That's the video game Valorant, created by LA-based Riot Games, with myriad online competitions between professionals, colleges, and increasingly now, high schools like St. John Bosco. They've been competing in the esports playoffs this week, where they sadly lost. But they do continue with a program that is winning in other ways. Gabriel Gianguilano is the director of esports and a coach at St. John Bosco. He's also a teacher there. Coach Gabe, welcome.
Hi. Thank you, Steve.
And Max Abramson is a junior at St. John Bosco. He plays Valorant and won the school's Esports Player of the Year award. Hey, Max.
Hey.
Coach, we've seen this massive explosion in esports over the last decade. I mean, you know, there's, what is it, World of Warcraft and League of Legends. I mean, there's so many out there that people just play, and they play in these auditoriums, and it's really intense. Now it's growing in high schools, too. I mean, how did esports come to your football powerhouse school?
Well, I think, it was brought up at a staff meeting, and they kind of were like, does anybody know anything about this space? And I kind of slowly raised my hand and go, well, I have a gamer background. I could kind of help out.
Yeah.
And then that's kind of where it went from there.
I have a gamer background. What does that mean? Is that Pong or is that something?
Pong, right? Right? Yeah.
That's, I guess, my gamer background, by the way.
For me, I think my gamer background would have started with Pitfall and Atari.
Yeah.
But I would say in 2007, 2008, I ran one of the largest World of Warcraft guilds in North America, and was in a lot of that raiding scene, and played with a lot of high-profile names and players and such. So, if there was anybody who knew how to run a program or run an esport game title or video game, it would have been me on campus. So that's where I drew the short straw.
Did you ever think that you would see a day, Coach, when this would be a high school sport?
I did hope, because there are a lot of kids who just, you know, they may not have the physical ability to get out there on a field and or get on the line and, you know, make a tackle or score a goal. But a lot of these kids, they might have the social awkwardness of themselves. And I really hoped that we could, you know, find a space for them to compete. And today I'm so happy that we have that today, that, kids of all types can get on that line and compete, you know, in a team environment, a team setting, and learn how to win and learn, win and lose, you know, at the same time, and grow. Because I think it's well-rounding for all of our kids. But no, I never thought it would be like this. I hoped that it would be that way.
Max, you're a highly ranked player in a game called Valorant, as I mentioned at the outset. You're in the top 1%.
Yeah.
Congratulations, by the way, on that. You were even sort of recruited, am I right about this, to transfer to Bosco to join their esports team?
So I had originally gotten in for the incoming freshman application, but I had chosen a closer school. But then after that, we spoke with Gabe and what had been developed, and we made a decision to come to Bosco.
Coach, I mean, this sounds like Nick Saban and the Crimson Tide trying to get college football. I mean, is that what's going on here?
I we're heading in that direction.
Seriously? Is that true?
He's a super talented player. Max is got great leadership ability in game. And he has completely turned my program around, my team around. And I think right now, HSCL has us ranked number one or two in the country right now. Doing very well.
How old are you, Max?
16.
Your doctor advised you not to play football because you have epilepsy.
Yeah.
So video games today are an assault, I would imagine, on the senses. How do you manage that part?
Like the flashing lights and everything, that is not a trigger. So when I went to the doctor, they did tests with lights and other things, and they found out that that was not the actual reason causing the seizures. So, yeah, that was never really an issue.
Yeah.
But, yeah, most games do have those warnings when you load up and say that there's a chance.
Did you want to play football?
Yeah, I loved football when I was younger, and I wanted to play tackle. But I never, like, strayed away from sports. I've probably played the majority of the sports there are to offer.
Coach Gabe, I was watching one of your other players on YouTube acknowledge that esports doesn't get the respect or isn't even considered a sport by many, you know, compared to football. Football's king.
Yeah.
At your school, obviously. Make the case for why it should be, especially at the high school level, you know, vis-a-vis the recruiting efforts that you guys have going on, stuff like that.
I definitely feel the competitive side. Those pieces all exist. Football's watching film. We're evaluating our film, you know, in the next room. They've got a battle plan. We've got our battle plans that we've got to set aside. They have reps. We got reps. You know, there's so many similarities. Where we differ is we're doing it from a seat. You know, we're doing it in front of our PCs. And so I would really like to see esports be recognized as, you know, as a full-fledged sport. And taken that way, I think the fans definitely support it in that direction. But yeah, I definitely feel that.
What's your injury list look like? Is it like a bunch of carpal tunnel syndrome? Or
yes.
Maybe some arthritis?
Actually, Max actually came to me once at the end of last season, right, Max? And he kind of came to me, he was like, my hands are killing me, Coach. And,
It is. Seriously, I was just joking about the carpal tunnel, but I guess yeah, if you're playing it a lot.
Yep, and you know, the amount of reps that we can put in. For example, if I were to run a soccer practice, I got an hour and a half, hour and 40 minutes before your physical fatigue starts to settle in, and then you're no good at practice. I can't keep you any longer. I got to wait for another session, get a meal in you, get some rest. But with esports, you can actually sit at a desk for, you know, 3 hours at a time and put in more reps and put, you know, before you start to feel that fatigue. So the hours, some would say, you play more.
Explain what the process is about. Like, you're a high school team. Do you play other high schools? Do you play collegiate teams? Do you play professional teams? I mean, is it all mix and mingle? How does it work?
So we last 2 years we've played in high school leagues, and this year too. HSCL is High School Esports League is what it stands for. For the collegiate teams, we scrimmage them. We don't really have like leagues where we like inter, like, you know, where they come together, but there are scrimmages. I think we're actually gonna play Oklahoma University right after this.
Like the one in Norman.
Yeah.
Wow. And do you beat college teams too?
I think we scrimmaged them actually about a month ago, and we did beat them.
Really?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, I guess it makes sense because you're not talking about size, mm-hmm. right? You're talking about skill, and I dare say that even younger students would be better at video games than maybe football.
So actually, it was last season. I was asking. I'd play with this guy, and he was two years younger than me. And I was asking him if he wanted to play with us, and he was like, "Oh, I'm only in eighth grade." So it's like now we're playing with him, but he's currently a freshman,
and probably really good, right?
Yeah, best player, I think.
There are scholarships, Coach, to colleges now to play esports, and there are these lucrative professional opportunities. We mentioned Max getting into St. John Bosco, but
yep.
I mean, he's going to move on to something else, I would imagine, right? It's all about climbing the ladder. So, Coach, tell me what those opportunities are, and Max, and then I want you to tell me what you're looking forward to as you finish high school.
I guess the program, the way we design our program is we are trying to grow and develop. We find that growth and development, you got basically 3-4 years to kind of build a player up to the collegiate level. And then once they get there, Probably about their junior year or mid or early junior year, we kind of go over, all right, where are some of the schools that you're interested in going? Can we get some scrimmages against those schools? And what we find a lot of times is the colleges aren't ready to receive a lot of these players. So it's a lot of work. You know, I've helped probably about 24 kids go graduate here and go play in college. And it's been a grueling process. Some of them are looking at junior colleges because the infrastructure is not built there yet for their four-year university. Or some of them are going to a four-year and they're playing on the club side. They're not playing officially. And then we've got some like, you know, special shout out to Hook Bait, Carlos Garcia, who's playing at George Fox University and getting a lot of his medical school covered paid, you know, because he's playing a support character for Overwatch. It's tough, you know, it's tough trying to find it, but they are out there. We just have to be extra diligent on finding them.
Max, what's next for you after high school?
I've spoken to a few universities, but I kind of want to stay maybe UC, hopefully.
Does UC Irvine, they have a big esports department there?
They do, and I think I've heard that their team is pretty good, but they don't have they call it a varsity program, so they cannot allocate school funds to recruit, you know? They can't just, you know, contact me and be like, here, we can get you admitted into this college because you are good or something, you know?
Yeah, but it's something that you want to keep doing no matter what.
Yeah, nothing comes from it after, you know, end of the 4 years, then so be it. I had fun.
What do you want to be when you grow up?
I'm not sure. I'm thinking maybe business or medical school. I'm not sure.
Well, again, if you're working with your hands, right, if you're really good and don't get too much carpal tunnel, maybe you can hold a scalpel, right?
Yep.
Surgeon, maybe, huh?
Maybe. Not sure.
You never know. Thank you both for coming on and talking to us, and congratulations on your success. Max Abramson, Jr. over at St. John Bosco, who plays on the team. Gabriel Jean Guilano, the director of esports and coach over at St. John Bosco. Thanks so much to you both.
Thank you.
Thank you, Steve. Thanks for having us on.
That story, by the way, brought to you by you and your support of KCRW. I know you get a lot of solicitations during the holidays. I do, too. And I hope you're able to give to all the ones that you really care about, of course. If that includes KCRW, thank you so much. We call this the season of giving back because it's a time to really understand those things that are important to you. Well, what's your reason to give this holiday? Is it news that centers you? Is it the music that transports you? Maybe the events across Greater LA that keep you connected? Whatever your reason, we ask that you donate now at kcrw.com/give. If you're already a member, great, thank you. Maybe add a little more, top it off for the end of the year. kcrw.com/give. Give this holiday season. We're emphasizing our food bank partnerships, which means all week long, KCRW will double the meals that you donate when you give and forego the thank you gift online. Again, that website, kcrw.com/give. And thank you for your support of public radio. Still to come, he was the decades-long voice of the Clippers, and Ralph Lawler put it all in a new book, The Man Behind Bingo, on the other side of this.
Introducing the KCRW donation car, designed to be recycled. This first-of-its-kind vehicle will save you time, space, and hassle by disappearing. Enjoy the luxury and comfort of turning your underused car into a donation worth hundreds, even thousands of dollars. The KCRW donation car, already in your garage, driveway, or on cinder blocks outside your house. Act now at kcrw.com/cars.
Onward now with Greater LA from KCRW. I'm Steve Chiotakis. If you're a hoops fan and you wear the LA white, red, and blue, this is the call for you.
Check your seatbelts. Here we go. Griffin at distance for three and the win. Bingo! Blake Griffin knocks down a three. The Clippers escape Rose City with a win.
That's the inimitable voice of an NBA legend, longtime Clippers play-by-play announcer Ralph Lawler. Lawler put in 40 years with the league and team and selfishly retired as he became an octogenarian. He wasn't done calling things, though, so he took his decades of memories and he wrote a book about all those years, growing up in the Midwest, becoming a basketball barker, and making his way west to the great state of California. And Ralph Lawler's book is not surprisingly called Bingo. Ralph Lawler, welcome.
Hey, Steve, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Nice to have you on. I know why the book is called Bingo. Where did the term Bingo come from? Why'd you start saying it?
It goes way back to 1979, which was the first year of the three-point basket in the NBA, that they stole it from the old ABA. And the Clippers brought in a player named Bobby Bingo Smith in a trade with the Cleveland Cavaliers. And whenever Bobby would make a three, I'd go bingo. And pretty soon it just kind of expanded itself, took on a life of itself, and it became a descriptive term to describe anybody making a three-point play.
Bingo's like the aloha of sports, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
It can mean pretty much anything. You were with the Clippers for 40 years. I mean, how did you manage to stay in the game for that long and to be doing that? Because for some people that would get old, or for a lot of people, you know, it's just a cutthroat business.
Well, I think that's a part of what can be interesting in the book for people who don't know a thing about the Clippers or certainly have no idea who this Ralph Lawler guy is. It is a bit of a roadmap on how to survive in a 60-year career to begin with, and then 40 years with one employer, the LA Clippers, because there are all sorts of bumps in the road, as all of us have experienced in our life's career. But number one is how to find the career that never seems like a job, which I was so lucky to be able to do midway through my college years. And I think there's some life lessons in there on how to get through some of those rough patches in life. And I was very fortunate. I had three owners that I had to survive. And until the last one, Steve Ballmer, they were tough owners to work for. Ballmer was a joy. I just wish he'd bought the team 10 years earlier. I'd love to have had, you know, 15, 20 years working for him.
And we're going to talk about one of those other owners, Donald Sterling, here in just a moment. But I do want to say this. Some basketball stars of years past paid tribute to you on cable network TNT several years ago for your longevity. I want to hear a couple of them.
If any guy deserves accolades, it's you. Because you have, like, you're like Drake. You started at the bottom, but now you're here. Because the Clippers finally got a good team and turned into a really cool organization with Mr. Ballmer behind him.
Congratulations, Ralph. You have a beautiful voice. You deserve all the accolades, like Idiot Chuck said.
that's Sir Charles Barkley and Shaquille O'Neal, of course, on TV singing your praises, superstars of the league over the years, one of them in a Lakers uniform, too. I mean, how does that affect you when you listen to that kind of praise?
Well, it's terribly pleasing. And my last year, I did not want to have it. My real preference when I decided 2 years before my retirement to retire at that point was to go through the 2 years and when it's over, you know, drop the mic and say I'm done. But the ball club hadn't had a whole lot to celebrate over the years. They felt that this was a chance to celebrate. And so it became a year-long thing, which was at times embarrassing, but it's very, very much appreciated. I mean, from club owners like Mark Cuban to former players like Jamal Crawford and Elton Brand and Chris Paul and many others, to say the kind of things that they said is really great. And of course, Chris Paul was a part of the book, writing an introduction for it, and Doc Rivers wrote the afterword, and Bill Walton would have written all 320 pages if we hadn't put the brakes on him, but he wrote quite a foreword as well.
Let's talk about, you mentioned Doc Rivers, who you included in your list of most memorable Clippers. You knew him as a player and as coach. How do you describe his impact on the team? What was your relationship like with him?
Well, it was extraordinary, Steve, I can tell you. He took over on what became a very dark year for the team, though they won 57 games, the most games that the franchise had ever won in a year. It was also the year in the playoffs when the revelation was made about the audio recording of owner Donald Sterling and his girlfriend Stiviano, which had some racist rants that just could not be ignored and could only be deplored and were by everyone. But it rocked the franchise, and maybe me more than any, because I was the senior citizen with the franchise and been there since day one with Donald Sterling.
You're the voice of the franchise, right? You're the voice of the franchise.
Yeah, I guess so. But it really rocked me because we all knew there were problems with this man and his dealings with his fellow human beings and with tenants at his apartment buildings and even with his players and employees in the organization. But it was kind of like our dirty little secret. And this put it all out there for the whole world to see. And it was embarrassing. I made the title of the chapter about Sterling, The Sterling Stigma, and a stigma it was, and we all felt it. And it was a very tough period of time. But to get back to your point, what Doc Rivers did, he somehow kept us, made us realize it was okay. We're going to get through this somehow, some way.
You ever feel like the Clippers got the cold shoulder in L.A., you know, the stepchild treatment, especially in the early days, fresh from San Diego?
Well, they got what you would expect to get, because it was a Laker town, it was a Dodger town, and it remains a Laker town and a Dodger town, because those two franchises have done nothing but be competitive, had the greatest stars in their respective sports, won championships. They deserve all that they got, but it is a huge megalopolis. There's plenty of room for everyone here, including, if you have two NFL teams, two Major League Baseball teams, two NBA teams, two MLS teams, you have major college sports around every corner. There's plenty of room for everybody here, and the Clippers never felt like they were competing with the Lakers. They felt they were competing with the sports population of let's be so good that people can't ignore us. Well, for years, they were not so good, and people did ignore us. But now the last 10, 11 years, they've had winning seasons. I think no team in the league has a longer string of winning seasons than the Clippers do, which is kind of a surprising statistic for most people to hear. They're good, and they're good for as many years as we can see looking ahead, I think.
Right. They have to cross that threshold, right? They have to get over the hump.
All they have to do is win 18 championships, because then they'd have one more than the Lakers.
Do you think that's going to happen?
Well, the 18, I'm not going to be around for. I'd love to see it happen.
You and me both, man.
I'd settle for one right now.
Well, I want to thank you for coming on. It's been a joy talking to you. Ralph Lawler, NBA legend and the 40-year voice of the L.A. Clippers right here in LACA. Ralph, thanks for coming on.
I've loved every second of it. I hope people get a chance to buy the book. It'd be a great gift, I think, for Christmas for a lot of sports fans.
You're always selling it, Ralph. I love it.
I don't know how not to.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for us this evening. Tomorrow, how disruptive the strike of UC grad students and researchers has been for the behemoth UC system. An update tomorrow on GLA. Of course, grab the podcast if you can at kcrw.com/GLA. I'm Steve Chiotakis. Have a great night.